Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things health, and I'm joined by Dennis Stewart. Hello.
Hello, Amanda. How are you?
Good. Great to have you. Now, Dennis, last week you spoke about functional foods again, and in particular about yogurt. Would you say that as one member of the sour milk group of foods, its potential health or medicinal properties are still not fully appreciated?
Look, that's one of the reasons why, again today, I want to talk a little bit more about this member of the sour milk family, because most people know of yogurt today. As I said last week, when I was growing up many years ago, no one knew about yogurt. I can't ever remember eating it. But suddenly, all over the Western world, and particularly in modern times, yogurt, well, I would say yogurt has been eaten by most people, albeit it has been eaten as a useful dairy food, but it's much more than that. And I think that we need to just look at a little bit more the potential of this remarkable food for health purposes. It's a food, an enjoyable food, I believe so, with nutritional properties, but I want to emphasise again, those nutritional properties share a lot with the medicinal, or if you like, medical properties of this remarkable food. I touched on the topic briefly last week about the way in which it could be sensibly used and very logically used in managing certain diseases such as large bowel disease, which I'll talk a little bit more about today. But I think we owe it again to just talk about this remarkable man, Elias Metchkinoff, the Russian scientist who was given the Nobel Prize as a result of his work. As I said last week, he was a friend of Louis Pasteur, and when he died, he was referred to in Nature magazine as one of the most remarkable figures in the scientific world. And it was his theory, based on his clinical work and his scientific hypotheses, his theory was that disease could be said to start in the gut. Now, that's a big call.
Mm.
It's a big call. And isn't it interesting that a controversial concept such as that, and controversial it was then and perhaps still is, controversial as it was and perhaps still is, today, over and over again, we hear the topic of gut health being raised in credible medical circles. Metchkinoff's idea, his hypothesis, is being perhaps finally appreciated when we begin to realise that the gut and the health of the gut can contribute significantly to the prevention of disease and indeed the treatment of disease, all as a result of the work that this man did through his observation of the fact that in the Balkans, the lifespan of people seemed to be interestingly much longer. And he finally came to the conclusion that the long life of these people, that is a disproportionately large percentage of people who were centenarians, that this could be put down to their lifelong use on a regular basis as part of their diet of a sour milk product, which subsequently became known as yogurt. And he related this to the way in which the food with the bacteria in it, which we now know as lactobacillus, that this food contained agents in it that had, if you like, a cleansing effect on the gut and, if you like, got rid of a lot of nasties in the gut, multiple nasties, which he claimed were related to the genesis of disease. Now, look, it's a controversial theory, but I subscribe to the viewpoint that the leaky gut theory, gut health, all have something to say, and Metchkinoff believes so sincerely in this idea of respecting the health of the gut and taking on board the tradition of the people from the Balkans particularly, inasmuch that all of his life, subsequent to his claim that sour milk products contributed to a healthier long life, he used, if we like, a sour milk product, call it yogurt, every day of his long life. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying if you eat yogurt, you'll live a long life? Look, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll talk more about this fascinating man, his remarkable discovery, the importance of this food, but also the underrated way in which I contend it is still not appreciated as much as it should be.
This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM, and we're talking about yogurt, and we've got Glenn from North Rothbury on the line. Hi, Glenn, you want to talk about coconut yogurt?
Yeah, I do, if that's okay. I've only got one question. I was just wondering, but purposely don't eat any dairy, haven't done for years.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you get the same benefits from coconut yogurt.
Look, yogurt is a sour milk product, but its active principle, or the thing that makes it effective, is what's called lactobacillus. So if a product contains lactobacillus, logically it would have a benefit similar to that of the dairy product known as yogurt. So lactobacillus is the clue to it, and
sure,
there are other preparations, things like sauerkraut, for instance, and salted cucumbers. They're popular things used in Eastern Europe, and they contain lactobacillus. So I would argue that in the case of coconut yogurt, if the bacillus is there, you would expect some of the benefits from yogurt that's made on dairy products.
And I just looked it up. It says, yes, many brands of coconut yogurt contain lactobacillus. So there you go.
Oh, very good.
There you go.
After all.
Where are you in the North Rothbury, Glen? I've got a bit of land up there.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Hanwood Road.
I know where you are. Yeah, I know where you are. Yeah, good on you.
Practically neighbours.
We're just about.
Had a little shower. It's just about gone now.
Oh, dear. I'm hoping we'll get a lot more.
Oh, yeah, keep your fingers crossed.
Okay.
Thank you, Glenn.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Bye. Next, we've got David from Cessnock. Hi, David.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Yeah, just want to ask Dennis about something called the gut-lung access that was mentioned to me by my ENT specialist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I'd have to translate a little bit here. Sometimes a chronic cough can be related to what's happening by way of what's called reflux.
That's what he said. I've got laryngeal product reflux.
Yeah. Reflux is a very, very common condition.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of remedies that can be used, pharmaceuticals known as PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, and there are a whole spectrum of them. They're frequently drawn upon as an attempt to address this problem. We're using that hypothesis that it is related to reflux. Have you talked to your GP, David, about...
I've actually seen a lung specialist.
Okay.
And then he sent me to an ENT specialist about scans, et cetera.
Okay.
And well, this has been going on for quite a long time now.
Now, have you been prescribed medication for reflux?
Yeah, I'm on Celpress.
Okay.
And also the ENT specialist told me to take some Gaviscon.
Oh, yes. Well, the idea of that is that the reflux coming from the gut is, to use a basic expression, is challenging or scalding or otherwise affecting the esophagus and the throat, and therefore something like a Gaviscon, which is used to buffer that condition, is a logical recommendation. But unfortunately, my experience in treating cough or coughs, even where this hypothesis has been developed, the hypothesis doesn't always ring true. In other words, the treating of it along the lines that it is reflux doesn't always give the expected relief that that one would like. I'll make a couple of simple suggestions here, David, which you may or may not have used. Now, one of them I'm going to suggest to old-timers like ourselves might be recollected. I'm a fan of older remedies, as you would appreciate.
Yep.
And Bonington's Irish Moss, you must remember that.
Bonington's Irish Moss.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, it is available in Cessnock. I know that because mm-hmm. I get some of it myself from a good pharmacist on Wallumbye Road. And I have mm-hmm. recommended it for many patients who have had a chronic irritable cough condition where mm-hmm. this preparation, natural as it is, based on Irish moss, gives relief. Whether it gives cure, well, some claim it does, some claim it doesn't, but it's simple, it's available, it's a non-script preparation, that is, your pharmacist can supply it without a script, and it's very, very economical. The second thing I'd suggest is please don't overlook the regular ongoing use of a significant amount of honey throughout the day. And when I say a significant amount of honey...
I have that every morning.
Good on you. Well, what I'd suggest you do is perhaps accelerate your intake of it, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of clinical work suggesting that honey regularly taken in its pure form can compete with mm-hmm. many pharmaceutical cough preparations. I'd be suggesting you take a dessert spoonful of honey a couple of times a day, and certainly before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. Now, the third thing that can make a lot of sense, and you'd need to see your pharmacist or a herbalist about this, licorice, the fluid extract of licorice, is a remarkable remedy for addressing inflammation anywhere in the gastrointestinal tract, and is useful for addressing coughs of an irritable nature that could respond to a soothing effect of the licorice. But let me just say, licorice extract, or the fluid extract of licorice, would have to be used cautiously if you are an elderly person on medication, because in some situations it can cause an elevation of blood pressure. So if you were to use the fluid extract of licorice as a medication, based on the recommendation of our literature, you would need to take about a teaspoonful of it once or twice a day, only if you were guided by your doctor or your pharmacist and your blood pressure was being monitored.
Yep. Uh-huh.
There are a couple of things that I would do. I come back to the point, if you're going down the pathway of using licorice, let your pharmacist know, let him prescribe it, and let your doctor monitor it. Very effective. I use a lot of licorice, but you need to be cautious with it and have someone monitoring your blood pressure.
Thanks for your call, David. Appreciate it. And good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And we've got Karen from Ellie Barner on the line. Karen, you want to talk about yogurt?
Yes, please. I cook porridge for myself most mornings.
Yes.
And put some mixed berries in with it.
Good.
And I've just become more conscious of having yogurt in my diet. And
yes.
I've been putting yogurt on, like when I've cooked it and put the porridge in the bowl, I then put yogurt on top and mix that through. And I'm wondering if the heat of the porridge would kill the good bugs in the yogurt.
Oh, look, I think it would have to be very, very hot porridge to destroy the yogurt. I'm not a bacteriologist. Look, I would suspect that lactobacillus is heat liable, but I'm not sure at what temperature it would experience any problems. You obviously wouldn't eat porridge at a scalding temperature. So
no.
I would think that so long as it's you're using porridge at a warm, palatable state, and you're putting yogurt on it, I can't see how that would possibly interfere with yogurt.
And I
congratulate you for doing that. If it's any interest to you, my dear wife, every morning, sits down to a breakfast that is comprised of various fruits, strawberries and blackberries. I stand by and just watch it being eaten. She eats that with some All bran, which is a great thing for the gut and a great regulator and a healthy food. And then on top of that, a carton of good quality yogurt, and away she goes for the day.
Yes, yes.
I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're doing it. I would like to see a lot more women use it, because I will not elaborate on it. I have just been talking a little bit to my friend here at the microphone that my belief is that there is a good argument to say that in women that experience recurrent episodes of urinary tract infections, I have a hypothesis that the regular oral use of the yogurt may in fact have an effect beneficially on combating the E. coli that's frequently behind the regular nature of urinary tract infections. I'll not elaborate how my hypothesis has been developed, but I believe there's a gut connection here. And it would be interesting for ladies that suffer the wretched condition of urinary tract infections to perhaps do what I'm suggesting, and what many women obviously do for all sorts of reasons, have a decent dollop, or a bit more than that, say a carton of yogurt, good quality yogurt, each day, to see if my hypothesis can be borne out, that it may help resist the bacterial infection associated with yogurt. Now, I know that yogurt is also used by many women as a topical application to apply into the vaginal region, but I'm talking here also about harnessing some of the other properties that we know about it that work via the gut. Interesting hypothesis, and I'm glad you're using yogurt, and I'd like to see many more people use it and many more women use it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks very much for your call, Karen. Bye. Next, we've got Marg on the line. Hi, Marg. Thanks for holding.
Hi.
You've got a question about Greek yogurt.
Yes, Greek yogurt and the probiotic yogurt you can buy. I usually buy the probiotic one, sugarless. Is it as beneficial as the Greek yogurt?
Well, I consider all yogurts to be members of what I refer to as the probiotic family.
Right.
Probiotics are substances that stimulate a biological activity that is derived from the gut but has systemic consequences. So I think any yogurt with its lactobacillus, in my opinion, is a good example of a probiotic.
Right.
So I think you're on the right track.
So I'm on the right track.
I think so.
Yeah, good. Okay, no, I just found it was very beneficial.
I just
didn't know whether the Greek yogurt was more beneficial than the probiotic one, that's all.
Well, Greek, there's various complexions of yogurt, put it that way.
Yes.
And look, they all share a commonality. A genuine yogurt necessarily contains one or more members of the lactobacillus family. All I would say is that yogurts that contain perhaps a broader spectrum of lactobacillus constituents might be a good way to get into yogurt, but who am I to say? But let me just say that, again, yogurt is based on lactobacilli, and there are numerous members of the group. And each one of them, in my opinion, has an activity that could be called probiotic.
Right. Okay. That's good, because I have yogurt every day, so that's
good. How long have you been having yogurt, Margaret?
Probably about last 6 months.
Oh, only 6 months. Well,
you're in the
running, my dear. You have a long way to go, but Metchkinoff put down his long life and the exceedingly long life of the Balkan people, particularly in Bulgaria, as I said at the beginning of the program, to their addiction to what you've started on. So the race has just begun. You never know where it might lead to, Mark.
I plan on being here for a long time.
Well, good on you. Well, you can listen to this program and you can say, well, Dennis Stewart confirmed the fact that yogurt was a major contributor to my receiving the telegram, as it used to be, from the monarch.
That's exactly right, yes. And I'm sure my children will be happy I'm around for a long time.
Well, that's great. Good on you. Okay.
Thanks for your call, Marg.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, we've got Robin on the line. Hi, Robin. Thanks for holding.
You've got
after some reflux advice.
No, well, I was just listening. Hi, Dennis. How
Hello,
you going?
Robin. I'm well, thank you.
I was just listening to what you were telling that chappie about the reflux and what the Irish moss and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And I just wanted to let you know, I take the good old-fashioned Nile Chesticoff mix. Now, it's got molasses in it, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And it does an awesome job to stop the cough. And if there's any mucus or anything like that in the digestive tract or in the esophagus, it gets rid of it.
Well, that's great. That's great.
And I've been taking that for many, many years, and it's not that expensive. I think it's about between $8 and $10 a bottle.
Well, that's great. Robert, I suspect that what will happen as a result of your ringing in is that you'll be suddenly given 1,000 shares in the Nile company. Well done.
I'm sure. But also, with regards to the licorice side of things,
yes.
I take, you know, the plant-based licorice that you can get from Aldi and that?
Yes.
I have several pieces of that a day to help with my constipation.
Very good.
Because the licorice...
But it's got to be genuine licorice. And this is where plant-based licorice needs to be differentiated from what perhaps are other products in the marketplace that are known as licorice, but flavoured with substances like aniseed. Now, I happen to like aniseed, but licorice has a well-known and reliable, gentle anti-constipational effect to the extent if you overdo it, you'll really know that it works.
So
again, I say to you and to all listeners, look, licorice is a great herb, one of the great wonders that our good Lord has given to us from the herbal world. But if you're going to use it, take on board what I have said, that large doses taken too frequently can... cause an elevation of blood pressure. I've not seen too much of it, but it needs to be respected. So if you see your GP now and then, you obviously get your blood pressure taken, just ask him.
Yes, I do.
And if he says why, just say, well, I take licorice, and he'll look at you puzzled because he probably doesn't know anything about licorice other than that it's a confectionery.
Well, I didn't know that myself, actually, about the blood pressure and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's an explanation. It tends to hold on to sodium in the body at the expense of potassium. And as a result of that, there can be a fluid buildup. And this is why people that are perhaps on fluid tablets again. Okay, well, you need to be aware of that and just get your doctor regularly to check your blood pressure.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay,
thanks a lot, Robin. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Michael from Madawi on the line. Hi, Michael. How can we help?
Oh, just a little inquiry. My partner had a brain tumour in July of last year.
Yes.
And she had the radiation. Since then, she just hasn't been herself in reference to nausea all the time and can't eat and face food and... They've been put her on steroids, but I just thought there might be something that might help a bit with the nausea and appetite.
Look, there's a couple of things, and they might sound a little bit left field, particularly for the oncologists out there who'll say, what's this guy going on about? But they've said that for 40 years, 50 years probably. Doesn't worry me too much. But look, I said a couple of weeks ago, and I referred to some research on this, that people that had sustained chemotherapy and other cancer therapies, they're often left with fatigue, appetite loss, depression, and that the use of beetroot as a medicinal food, a functional food, and this is what I've been trying to do in these sessions, come over with the idea that food is more than something just for nutrition. It has what the Greeks knew, it had medicinal properties. Food is your best medicine. Now, with beetroot in a powder, that is a dehydrated form, and I'm recommending it on 2 teaspoonfuls of beetroot powder a day. That is a recommendation made in some technical literature, a research paper written by research scientists supporting the idea that this food can have an impact on the after effects of cancer therapy. Now, beetroot's never hurt anyone. If you like beetroot juice, you'll use beetroot juice, but the taking of it in a powdered form allows you to give a more measured level and perhaps in a more convenient way. So as a starting base, I'd ask you to think about that. Think about it. It's a food with a possibility of helping this post-cancer therapy. However, if your dear wife or partner is getting a lot of nausea, I'd also suggest that if you haven't tried it, use some ginger. Ginger is a useful herb and with a reputation for nausea of multiple causes, and that's readily available in a medicinal package or form. The medicinal properties of ginger as a tincture, as an extract, or perhaps taken as a lozenge or as a capsule. It's worthwhile. In herbal medicine, in the Western tradition, there is a lack of appreciation of a well-known herb called black horehound. Now, black horehound is not white horehound. Black horehound is known as Bellota nigra. And in the writings of modern English-speaking herbalists, particularly the excellent work of Simon Mills, the English herbalist, it's put up very confidently as an anti-nauseant, as an anti-nauseant. So there are a couple of things. None of them are expensive. All of them are very safe. It may be that if you're looking for black horehound, you may have to go to your pharmacist, and I know your pharmacist up there. He would know what I'm talking about. If you can't get hold of it, I'm sure you get it through him, from us, if you want to try it. But try the other two procedures first.
Much appreciated, Dennis. Thank you kindly.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To NURFM 103.7. This is Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. Now, Dennis, before we go to Eddie, Claire called and she asked, does frozen yogurt still have medicinal qualities?
I would think it would.
Yep.
I would think it would. I can't see how freezing something like that would have the same detrimental effect that, say, boiling it would have. No, I would say it'd be okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, we've got Eddie from Warrabrook on the line. Hi, Eddie, how can we help you?
Good afternoon, lovely people. Thank you very much for doing a great community service with this regular segment that you do. It is very helpful. My mum got me onto it. My mum, Mirsada, who used to be Dennis's patient for a few years. My question to you is this. Contrast between kefir and yogurt. Is kefir good enough substitute for the medicinal purposes in place of yogurt? And my second question is, with regard to beetroot juice, when I buy sliced beetroot in a can from a supermarket, is it advisable or not advisable to drink that juice from the can?
Eddie, what I'll do, first of all, is answer the beetroot question. My choice is that if one is going to use beetroot as a juice, it's best to juice beetroot yourself. Now, I'll not elaborate on my thoughts more than that, but beetroot juice is beetroot juice, and I have nothing against what beetroot products have in them, but I'm all for using, in the case of a vegetable, if possible, in its natural form. And I would encourage you to use it that way. Enjoy your beetroot as I do from the can, but I don't drink it. I prefer to drink the beetroot juice or use the beetroot powder. Now, secondarily, and I'll be quick, with what you're referring to as kaffir, in fact, it's a member of the sour milk family. It contains, however, a different lactobacillus to that which is in yogurt. Kefir contains lactobacillus caucasicus, whereas yogurt contains lactobacillus bulgaricus. All of them, or both of them, contain lactobacillus, so both of them would share a commonality as far as their benefits were concerned. Go for it. I can see no reason why one would be better than the other. They've got different bacilli in them, but they do the same job as far as I'm aware.
Sir, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. Wishing people a lovely day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for your call. Now, Dennis, just before we go, yes, are there other foods that could be called probiotics?
Look, we could talk about this, but I say yes, because my interpretation of a probiotic is a food that encourages the healthy functioning of the gut associated with digestion, elimination and assimilation. So I believe that even things like soluble fibre, fresh fruit and vegetables could fit into the category, this loose category of being a probiotic.
Okay, so having sort of a stir fry with particular vegetables?
So long as it perhaps wasn't heated too much.
Right. And are there any other benefits to yogurt apart from the ones that you've already mentioned?
Well, look, I think one of the big things, we haven't had much of a chance to look at it, is that it is now considered to be what's called an immunosupportive or an immunostimulant remedy. And in the book that I have been referring to for the last couple of sessions, which I finally mentioned today, because we won't touch on this topic again, the book by Jean Carper, C-A-R-P-E-R, called The Food Pharmacy. Now, that's a book that's worth reading by any nutritionist, dietitian, or an interested lay person. In that book, there is an excellent section dealing with the modern work that's been done on what's called the immune factor that is latent in yogurt. We're using yogurt now is considered to be supportive to the body's fight against infections and other diseases by stimulating the response and the activity of the immune system. So this is different, if you like, from what we've been talking about, as seeing it supporting, if you like, gut health. But in a sense, the immune benefit coming from yogurt may be derived and probably is derived from the lactobacilli in the yogurt itself, transported through the gut, where perhaps the immune functioning is coming from. Nevertheless, in modern writings and literature, medical literature on yogurt, particularly in Carper's book, there are excellent examples of why using yogurt as a medicine to support medical treatment has led to an enhanced response in the treatment of various diseases.
Right.
So if you're using yogurt regularly, in my opinion, I've got to catch everything in that terminology, in my opinion, if you are doing that, you may well be enhancing your body's ability to fight and resist disease more efficiently. So you can get benefits from it in multiple ways. It's an immune enhancer, and it's also a gut health remedy, as we've seen, to promote microbial health in the gut and resist a lot of diseases that we argue these days, particularly like Metchkinoff did, come from the gut.
Right. It's been very, very interesting. Just quickly, I looked up about what the lady asked about putting yogurt on top of the hot porridge.
Oh, yes.
And it does have a little bit of an effect. Just make sure that it's not higher than 49 degrees centigrade or to 54.
Well done, my dear.
There you go.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Catch you in a couple of weeks, Dennis.
Thank you.
Bye.